Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and it is wonderful to have all of you here for this service on the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Today, of course, we are also celebrating Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and thank you for being of service to your family and for giving us an earthly picture of what the Heavenly Father's love is for all of His children, a strong sacrificial love. Today in our worship, as we join together on this beautiful day, we are going to be using Divine Service Setting 1. So in your hymnal, that is found on page 151, and I'll invite the congregation to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our service now with the introit printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He made the storm be still.
And the waves of the sea were hushed.
Then they were glad that the waters were quiet.
And they brought them to their desired.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love.
For his wondrous works to the children of men.
Let them extol him in the congregation of the people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Heavenly King. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the book of the prophet Job, chapter 38, beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the gradual responsively. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate. The epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even wind and sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. How about you guys sit right here in front of me? Cool. Good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning.
Good morning, Daddy.
Happy Father's Day to me, right? How's everybody doing? It's been a long time since I got to do a children's message, but I'm really excited to have you guys up here today because we're going to talk about a really important story that I just read from the Gospel of Mark. But before I get into that, I do need to just give you one little advertisement, one little shameless commercial for Vacation Bible School. It's starting tomorrow! So hopefully we'll see some of you guys there. It's going to be all week long. Rainforest Explorers. We're going to learn all about how Jesus leads the way. And I think some of you who got to go to Sunday school today got to maybe hear some of the songs. Sneak a peek, and you got to see everything.
I hear the song.
That's awesome, Zach.
Me too. I had them all last night.
Okay. So, now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Father's Day, too. So, anybody have anything really cool planned to do with your dad later today? Do you have anything cool planned, Lila?
Yeah.
What are you guys going to do? Okay. That's cool. Zoe, maybe you should wait and let me know later. Maybe you might ruin the surprise. What are you going to tell me? Don't tell me what you're going to give me. Okay, a little present. Okay. So I like Father's Day a lot because I'm a father, right? I'm a dad. But also, I have a dad. And even though my dad does not live here, I still like to call him and wish him a happy Father's Day. My dad lives very far away. He lives in a state called Connecticut. That's where I grew up. It's very far away from here. So I don't get to see my dad very often, but he actually came out here to visit us last week because he was going to play in a golf tournament with me, which we did last Sunday. So one of the things that you got to know about my dad is that he really likes to help. He likes to do lots of projects. Whenever he comes out, he can't sit still. He always has to have something to do. So Mrs. Wallenberg and I always have to come up with things that he can do when he comes to visit. And last week, he helped us with a few different things that I wanted to show you. So I actually brought this along with me. So this is a bucket, and it's from Buckeye. So it's a Buckeye bucket. Can you guys say that? Buckeye bucket, right. So it's a Buckeye bucket, and actually what my dad was helping me with last week was we were watering the new trees. There are three new trees in my yard, and there's three new trees behind the school, and we didn't have a lot of rain lately, so my dad had to help. And so we actually have a hole in the bottom of this bucket. Maybe you can see the little hole. We filled these buckets up with water, and then the buckets ended up watering the trees. So that was one of the things that he helped us with. And then inside here, we got this cool looking tool. See this? It's like a little vice grip thing. Look at how awesome that is. Look, and you can even change how big or how small. This is really cool. So my dad was helping me with this because I have a power washer that needed a new water pump. And so that was one of the projects we gave him. He actually used this tool to get the old water pump off of it so that we could put a new one on.
My dad has
one of those too.
Yeah? Your dad's got one of these too? Yeah, your dad does lots of projects, doesn't he? Yeah. So there's one other thing that my dad helped us with. What's this?
It's a bubble wand.
It's a bubble wand? No, you can't have it until we go home later. So this is something else that my dad was helping us with. He was helping us watch Zoe and Zach and Max so that Mrs. Wallenberg and I could go and do other things. So he was busy being a papa, being a grandfather, right? So he was helping by using this bubble wand to blow bubbles out in the backyard. So he was doing all these cool things. But you know what? Something I used to think, what, Zach? We'll talk later. You can sit up here. Yeah. So one of the things that I used to think when I was your guys' age is that my dad could do anything. I thought he was like a superhero, strongest guy ever, could figure out how to do anything I needed him to do. But you know what? Something that I've learned now that I've grown up is that actually dads know a lot and they can do a lot, but dads can't do everything. We're not perfect. We don't know everything there is to know. We can help our kids as best as we can, but we don't know everything. You know who does know everything?
God.
God, that's right. And today, we heard this really interesting story in the gospel reading about how Jesus was on a boat with his disciples, and there was this huge storm that happened. And they were really scared because the waves were so high, the water was filling the boat up. And the disciples didn't know if they were going to make it. They thought they might sink. They couldn't swim that far. That would have been a long way to swim. So they were scared because they didn't know what was going to happen. But you know what? God did. Jesus knew that he could stop the storm. He just told the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And then everything calmed down. Isn't that amazing? So we are really thankful for the dads that God gives us in our lives. But we're more thankful for God, who can do anything, who knows everything, and who has done the most important thing by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross and take away our sins. And so because of that, we have hope. And so let's say a prayer to God, and let's thank him for that amazing gift. If you would fold your hands and bow your heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for sending your son to save us. Help us to trust in him, even when we don't know what's going to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys, thank you so much for coming up. And you can go back and sit with your moms and dads. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 4. We've been talking about this famous passage, Jesus calming the storm, which is an interesting passage because it ends with the disciples in fear. Of course, it's kind of a healthy kind of fear. It's a reverence and an awe for the amount of power that God has put on display through what Jesus was able to do there on the sea. And this power is one that brings us comfort, because when we know that God has the power to do things that we can't do, we know that God is in control over everything, including our very lives. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since it's Father's Day today, I thought maybe I could start the sermon by talking from a father's perspective on some things. And one of the things that I've observed as I've been working to raise my children over these last 7 years is that most of the time, especially with young children, they tend to be willing to express out loud the things that the rest of us adults generally try to hide and keep inside. And most kids, at least the small ones, they tend to be, you know, wearing their hearts on their sleeves. They don't have the same hang-ups that we do. They don't get nearly as embarrassed as the rest of us tend to get. And so because of that, the more time you end up spending around young children, the more you get this insight into the unfiltered human psyche. And so it comes out in lots of different ways. But I bring that up to say this. It's amazing to me how quickly a person can go from feeling like everything is calm and completely within your control and very peaceful, how quickly you can go from that to being completely scared out of your mind and just being like completely out of control. It happens to all of us, but the way that we react to it is maybe different depending on how old we are. If you're little, it's going to come out in a lot of crying and screaming. Well, maybe that happens to adults too. But let me just give you an example of something that happened this week. So it's the summertime now, and one of the ways that we try to cope with our children being home all the time is, you know, in order to avoid everybody just being in the house on top of each other constantly, we force our kids to go outside and play. And one of the benefits of being one of the pastor's kids, living so close to the school, is that you pretty much have access to the school playground whenever you want, because it's right there in the backyard. So the other day, we were just hanging out in the playground, and everybody was just sort of doing their own thing, and Max had decided that he was going to practice going up and down the stairs. So that's what I was doing with him. We're just going up and down, constantly, up and down the stairs. And Zach was down below, and he was just kind of minding his own business over by the sandbox that's out there. But I guess for whatever reason, there was this pile of these short little wooden stakes. I'm not sure why they were there or what they were doing back there, but Zach found them. So he's playing with them. And I saw that he was doing it. You know, I was all the way up there with Max, and I was looking down, and he's playing. He's kind of like throwing the stakes into the sand. Zoe wasn't over near him, so I wasn't worried about him like hitting his sister with him or anything like that. So I thought, this is no big deal. And so anyway, everything's calm, everything's peaceful, everything's good. And then all of a sudden, I hear this loud scream. And I think, oh no, what's going on? And I look down, Zach's crying and he's holding his hand. And I thought, okay, maybe he just kind of whacked his hand with one of those wooden stakes, or I don't know, maybe he pinched his finger or something like that. But down below, upon further investigation, it turned out to be one of a four-year-old's greatest nightmares, a splinter. Dun, dun, dun. He had this big old splinter in the palm of his hand. And so it's pretty terrifying. I mean, at that age, you know the only way you're going to be able to get that out is if mom or dad comes over with the tweezers and does a little bit of surgery. You know what I'm saying? So for at least the next hour, there was a lot of tears, a lot of screaming, a lot of crying. It got so bad at one point I was thinking, somebody's going to call the cops. Like it's getting really loud in the parsonage, right? Well, we worked at it. We tried to calm him down. Ultimately, the big issue was fear. Not necessarily pain, but fear. And fear mostly that mom and dad trying to get the splinter out was going to become a more painful experience than he was already going through, right? And so this fear ultimately caused him to temporarily distrust his mom and dad, distrust Katie and me. So that was kind of crazy, but there is a happy ending to the story. Eventually, we were able to convince him to soak his hand in water, and so it was much easier then, after a while, to get the splinter out after his hand had been soaking for quite a while. But my point is just, it's amazing how quickly and how out of control and crazy things had gotten, you know, when it was just calm, just a few moments earlier. And my hunch is that we all have these things happen to us from time to time. And if we all expressed outwardly what we were feeling inwardly all the time, the way a four-year-old does, I think that there would probably be a lot more screaming and crying in this world than there already is. So we see this, I think, as well in this gospel reading in Mark chapter 4. This is a pretty famous passage. It's one that you probably remember being taught when you were in Sunday school. Sometimes we don't remember the context of why Jesus was out on the boat, you know, in the middle of this storm, why he was there with his disciples. We kind of been talking about this as we walk through the Gospel of Mark these last couple weeks. But Jesus was teaching and preaching along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he had this giant crowd that was following him around. It was getting so excessive that, like, in order for people to even hear Jesus or see Jesus, he had to get into a boat and go out onto the sea a little ways. Otherwise, he wasn't going to be able to be heard or seen. So he was out there, and he's preaching, he's teaching people using parables, right? He taught the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the smoked brisket. Wait a second. Hold on. Check that. Just checking to make sure you're paying attention. If you don't get that joke, you have to look at our Facebook page and watch the sermon from last week. But anyway, you get to this passage that we have before us today, and Jesus is now pretty tired because he's been preaching and teaching all day long. And so he finally tells his disciples, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee where all these crowds aren't. And along the way, it's time for Jesus to rest. So he goes into the stern of the boat, and he finds a cushion, and he falls asleep. And it's one of those moments where you really get a picture for the true humanity of Jesus, right? The fact that he is a man who gets tired, and so he has to take a nap, just like many of us would feel at the end of a long day of talking to a big giant crowd. So he's asleep on the cushion. Everything is nice and calm and peaceful. They get into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and then it doesn't take very long for the calm to turn into chaos. Because all of a sudden, one of these great windstorms on the Sea of Galilee just erupts. And this is something that the Sea of Galilee was kind of known for, and still is known for to this day. These sudden, intense storms that appear out of nowhere. And you got to just picture what this scene would have been like. This Galilean fishing boat being tossed about on the wind and the waves, pushing it all around. And the disciples, some of them were fishermen, right? Some of them would have been used to this. They would have seen this happen probably a million times before. They probably had certain maneuvers that they would try first. You know, maybe they would just grab a hold tighter to the oars and the rudder and things like that. There's some archaeology that's been done that suggests that some of these Galilean boats had sails, so maybe they had to do some things with the sails, but whatever was they tried to do, it wasn't working. There was something different about that storm that day. I mean, it got so intense that the waves are crashing into the boat. The boat is already filling, according to verse 37. You got to figure they're bailing the water out as fast as they can, but the water's crashing in faster than they can bail it out, and they are scared. They're looking at each other. They're in fear for their lives. They're not thinking that they're going to make it out. They're already too far away from the shore to make it back, and they're too far from the other side to make it to their destination safely. They don't know what they're going to do. But then all of a sudden, they remember that Jesus is there. That's right. Jesus is there. He's in the back. He's in the stern. So they go back there to find Jesus, and they can't believe their eyes. He's asleep. He's asleep on the cushion. He's asleep just acting like everything is fine, everything's peaceful, nothing's wrong here. Absolutely amazing. And kind of frustrating. Because the disciples who really were afraid thought that they were going to die. And so they thought that Jesus just didn't care. For a brief moment, they lost their faith and trust in the Lord. Very similarly to how Zach, for a brief moment, lost his faith and trust in his mommy and daddy as they were coming at him with the tweezers this past week. Right? The disciples lost their faith. But instead of, you know, expressing that through a lot of screaming and crying, these are grown men, not preschoolers on the boat, right? So the way it comes out, the way it's recorded for us in verse 38, what they say is, "Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, of course, we know the rest of the story. Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind and the waves. Everything calms down right away. And that fear is now replaced with reverence and awe, because this man who had already been doing these amazing miraculous healings and could really teach a parable or two, all of a sudden now he can do some amazing things that only God can do, right? Rebuking the wind and the waves and having the storm obey his will. That's pretty amazing. So now, what does this mean for all of us? A typical sermon that you might hear preached on Jesus' calming of the storm might at this point say to you, "Well, what are the storms in your life?" And then maybe promise you that, well, if you believe and trust in Jesus hard enough, then he's going to calm all of your storms too. But I actually think that that kind of misses the point of this passage. I mean, obviously we do all have storms that we deal with in that sense. And obviously sometimes these things are things that just pop up out of nowhere, all of a sudden, things that make us really, really scared. But just because Jesus took away the threat of that one storm in that one boat on that particular day doesn't mean that I can stand here today and tell you that this means that Jesus is just going to automatically take away all of your problems. He's going to automatically heal your diseases or make your family get along or even prevent you from getting a splinter in your hand. I can't stand here and promise those things. None of us were promised that if we were just to believe more or pray hard enough or be nicer to people, then all of our problems would just automatically go away. That kind of thinking might sound good, but ultimately, it's that kind of thinking that leads people to turn away from God when bad things happen in their lives anyway. For us, the real hope comes even though we have to endure pain and suffering and hardship. The real hope comes even though sometimes we feel like our earthly lives are spinning out of control, whether we express that with a bunch of screaming and crying or whether we just handle it like the good Germans that we are and keep it all bottled up inside. But the hope comes even as you and I are in this boat of a congregation together, and we're kind of being pushed around by the wind and the waves, the stormy weather that's all around us, we still have a reason to hope, because our hope is not of this world. Jesus has truly calmed the storm through his death and resurrection. He has calmed the true storm of sin, death, and the devil. He has taken away the eternal punishment that each and every one of us deserve. And he's given us the assurance that he will be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Knowing that and believing that is what frees us to praise and worship our Almighty God, even when things in our life aren't going as well as maybe we think that they should. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has promised that when he returns, those who believe in him will never suffer ever again. Jesus is Lord of creation. He proved that in the boat on that day. But Jesus is also Lord of the new creation, too. We know that the day is coming when everything will be restored and perfect back to the way it was before mankind fell into sin. And that's what ultimately keeps us from losing our faith, losing our trust, when all of these crazy storms pop up in our lives and when we get splinters in our hands. Nothing can take away the hope that dwells within us. So my prayer for each and every one of us is that as we continue to sail these stormy seas together, that we can be like Jesus, that we can be so at peace and so calm that we can still rest. We can rest on the cushion even as the storm rages on all around us. May God grant it for Jesus' sake, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our service continues now as we confess the Apostles' Creed, which can be found either on page 159 or on the back flap of your hymnal. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We have a number of updates in the prayers today I want to bring to your attention. We have listed an upcoming surgery for Ron Schorfheide. He's going to be having a heart valve replaced this coming Thursday. So please lift him up in your personal prayers as well. We also are continuing to pray for Lorna Grody, who remains hospitalized at Good Samaritan Hospital in Mount Vernon after she had suffered a fall a couple weeks ago. I received word before the church service today that Carol Morrison, the sister of Kathy Unverfurt, is recovering from a successful appendectomy on Thursday. She's doing very well, so we'll pray for her as she recovers. Also today, we will be including in our prayers, we'll be lifting up Ethan and Krista Beester, who were married up in Wisconsin on Friday. And we'll also be lifting up before the Lord the families of Jim Witte and Valera Schorfheide. Jim is brother-in-law to Roy and Carol Krieger and also Rich and Aggie Baining. He had passed away on Wednesday. The funeral will be this coming Tuesday at St. John's in New Minden, with visitation occurring tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m. Funeral on Tuesday will be at 11 o'clock in the morning. And Valera Schorfheide, that is the sister of Mary Lou Seifert, who passed away this past Monday. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wondrous works to the children of men. You hold power over wind and wave, sin and death. Deliver us from every trouble and distress, and bring us at last to our eternal haven. Lord, in your mercy, God of our salvation, you have ushered in the favorable time and day of salvation through the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Support all your ministers and remove all obstacles from hearing and believing the word that they preach. Let your grace be proclaimed through every hardship, struggle, and suffering, and encourage us by the example of many saints to consider ourselves rich and alive despite every opposition. For since we have Christ, we possess everything. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein, who is serving you in South Korea, and our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Iuka, and their pastor, Aaron Kangas. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you rule this world by your power. Give to our civil servants respect and recognition of your creation and its nature. When they use the authority given them from above, let it be in accord with your good design for our world, and not the corruption of sin, which they are to rebuke for the good of their citizens. Guide and protect the members of the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, open wide the hearts of Christians to one another, especially within the home. On this Father's Day, we give you thanks for the earthly fathers you have placed in our lives, whose love for their children is a reflection of the love you have for us as our Heavenly Father. Bless especially those whose relationship with their father may be strained, and also those who are grieving fathers who have passed away. Let love be genuine, speech truthful, and patience constant. Let us commend ourselves in everything as those known by God's love as we serve one another in our families. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks for the blessing of earthly life. We rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Marilyn, Orville, Abraham, Tammy, Richard, Ben, Wayne, Owen, Sherry, Kayla, Loanna, Katie, and Sandy. We also praise your name for the gifts of marriage and family. We ask you to bless those who are celebrating special anniversaries this week, including Michael and Patricia Kohlmeier. We also lift before you Ethan and Krista Beester, who you joined in marriage this past Friday afternoon. Bless them as they grow in love for you and for each other every day. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, you see that we are perishing, yet you bid us to set our fears aside and trust in you for the sake of Christ, by whose blood we have received peace for our troubled consciences. Do not reject our prayers, and teach us to trust in you fully. Give your protection and peace to those who are in need, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, and Jim. We lift Ron before you, who will be undergoing surgery later this week. We pray for Lorna Grody as she continues to be hospitalized. We also lift before you Carol, who is recovering from her recent appendectomy. And we also lift before you all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Robert, Chad, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Rollin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, Diane, and all those who are fighting cancer. We also especially lift before you today the families of those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We ask you to be with the family of Jim Witte and the family of Valera Shorfheide, that you would remind them of the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, these and whatever else you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We sing together the offertory found on page 159. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is, O God, our help in ages past. Good morning. It's going to be a busy week around here, so we're really excited for Vacation Bible School to start tomorrow. And if you haven't already seen it, the team has really done a great job transforming the gymnasium into a rainforest. We're excited for Rainforest Explorers VBS. So that's every day this week from Monday through Friday from 9 until noon. You can still sign up if you haven't already done so. Volunteers, those of you who are helping us out this week, you are asked to please come over to the Activity Center immediately following the worship service today, because we would love to give you your VBS t-shirt. They are over there. And Michelle has a few other things that she wants to give to our volunteers. But we are really, really excited for this Vacation Bible School week. It's going to be a great one. Couple other things. Tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock is this quarter's coordination meeting. So those of you who are involved in leadership on various boards, we're going to be meeting 7 o'clock in the 7th and 8th grade room tomorrow night. Also, because VBS is happening, we are going to not have our regular Wednesday morning Bible class this week. So the Bible class that had been meeting at 9:15, that will take place next two Wednesdays from now. So the next one will be on June 30th. We will not have that study this week. Something else to bring to your attention is that we are looking forward next Sunday to the installation of our new principal, Mr. John Schaff. That will take place during our worship service in the morning. And then following the worship service, there's going to be another Hoyleton potluck, which we are really excited about. So there's going to be some things provided. There's going to be pulled pork and brisket provided by the school board. The PTL is providing cake and punch, but we're still looking for some side dishes. So if some of you could bring a side dish to share and bring that over to the activity center next week, we'd really appreciate that as we officially welcome John as he begins his ministry among us here at Trinity Hoyleton. The last thing that I wanted to mention is that we do have the directory sheets on the table in the narthex. If you haven't already taken a look at that, please let us know if you have any updated contact information or if anyone in your family does. That will help us as we are getting ready to print the brand new updated directories. Any other announcements today? Okay, if not, again, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads. I hope you have a wonderful day. God's blessings to all of you the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed week.